Hey guys, Liam Duggan here, captain of the 4WD podcast. We're driven by the Shelter Brewing Co. and are a part of Backchat Studios. You can support us on Patreon, where you can get bonus content and episodes before everybody else. Head to patreon.com/the4WD podcast.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back to the 4WD podcast, driven by Shelter. That's music by the Southern River Band, Let It Ride. The socials, 4WD podcast on Instagram, all of our episodes over on Backchat's YouTube. And thank you to our new Patreons, which we've had a couple sign up, Jaden.
Yep, we have. We've got a couple.
So now we've got to deliver, is what you're telling me.
Yeah, how many we got to deliver. 200. At the moment, yeah, we got about 200-300.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Yeah, we're taking off.
So we take off a few zeros there, I take it?
Yeah.
Take two zeros off and take the three off. But it's a start and we appreciate the support.
It's great. I mean, like, you get extra content over there, so.
You do.
It's not. Yeah. If you don't want to sign up, don't sign up. But
yeah.
Well, it's extra special for these two or three people.
That is, yeah.
Yeah.
200.
Yeah. It's no 2 to 3, it's
oh,
2.
Oh, right, okay.
Yeah, but by the time this is actually released, we could be the way it's going.
Oh, we could have 300 by the time this is released.
Or four. Be a good start.
Yeah.
Hey, let's stop carrying on. We've got a special guest with us here today, and by popular demand, we welcome Torben. So, mate, thank you for coming on.
Thank you.
I actually don't know your last name. What's your last name? I felt like I should have given a last name there.
Oh, Paulson.
Paulson. There you go, Torben Paulson. Thank you for joining us, mates. Thank you for joining Ronnie Darling, Liam Duggan, and Jaden Ellis. Mate, thanks for coming on. Appreciate it. Everywhere we've been talking, people are wanting you on the podcast. So appreciate your time actually come on and
spend an hour with us
for a chat. So I'll let you choose
this morning. I threw him in the car and just drove.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, where are we going? I said, we're getting a coffee, we get a croissant, and then we'll end up somewhere.
Yeah. Mate, just quickly, because we've got a little segment called On the Radar, which you blokes have actually tested out on a recent trip. What have you been up to, mate? You've got the red boots on. But I'm sure they weren't red at the start, but they're red now. So you're not
red as standard. the last 12 months has just been work and work.
Yeah, right.
Been up in the Pilbara the whole time. Yeah, so away from home a lot.
Yes, and you're a Sparky up there, but I'm assuming your time spent in the Pilbara is not exactly out with Little Bear checking out the beautiful gorges. It's
unfortunately not.
No,
I rarely get to go out and check out the scenery.
Yep.
But
you've had that a few times, haven't
you? Yeah, been out a few times. Go checking out a few of the local water holes when there is water.
Yeah. So, which at the moment we were just talking about, there's a lot of water up there.
Oh yeah, we copped a lot of water. So yeah, unfortunately, the new build that we're doing went a meter underwater.
Building a swimming park.
Yeah. So we're going to have to charge extra for the rooms now because now they're river frontage.
Yeah. Good. That's hot property up there, I would have thought.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to dive into a little bit more about what you're about, mate, and some of your, I suppose, long relationship with Ronnie as well across the channel and some of the videos and stuff that we've seen you feature in. And there's one that we really want to touch on that we've spoken about quite a bit on here. I know you can probably think of what that one is.
Oh, geez, I wonder.
Yeah. It's not a guessing game, is it? On the radar, Ronnie, we've only covered cars recently. This is, so just for Torbs, for your sake, it's and for the listeners and viewers, it's On the Radar is a little segment we've brought in only recently. Probably been doing it for three, four weeks.
Probably done four episodes on it.
Formerly
New Car Radar.
Formerly New Car Radar, but we've moved to On the Radar, so we don't want to just focus on cars because by the end of it, we'll be talking about Subaru Outbacks. But
great car.
Honda Civic.
No, I shouldn't. Yeah, that's what I was probably
Come on, mate.
Or something like that. So On the Radar, new products on the market that we think are worth having a chat about. And the one that's popped up this time is the GME XRS 660. It's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, it's interesting because I saw the run sheet and I was like, we use that. I'll bring it in.
Yeah.
So you blokes have literally landed come back from a trip yesterday, and this was part of your trip.
Yeah. This because I don't have a UH, so I'm just changing to channel 40. See if we get someone. I get a truckie or something. The CVD. I don't have a fixed mounted radio inside the 76.
Oh, of course. Yep.
But we got a whole bunch of handhelds, and this was a new one that I was sent. Top secret a little while ago. Hadn't had a chance to use it. That was the first time I used it. I literally turned it on in the office and I was like, wow, look at these buttons. So I handed it to Jono. I said, mate, figure out how this thing works because I like simple stupid. I press a button and talk, but I do like this repeat button. So, Torps.
Oh, God.
This is you.
Here we go.
1, 2, 3.
We are ready and waiting for you. No problem. We'll see you at the servo.
Yeah, sounds like someone was on the bathroom, eh? Sounds like, well, come on, Ronnie, where are you? In the bathroom? What?
So, so that's a playback function.
Yeah.
I'm amazed by that. So how do you
do that? It can hold up to, I forgot what it is. It's quite a few minutes of talk time. I think it's like 80 minutes or something. I probably got it wrong. I think you got the specs up there because you would know more about this technical than I would. But on the other XRS units that are fixed mounted, like the one you got, Torbs, you got a repeat button and that. So it's great because if you're talking to someone or like you're listening to music and someone gets on the radio and says something, you're like, oh, I didn't hear it, you can press the repeat button.
Right.
So otherwise you're like, mate, can you repeat that?
And it will repeat what was last said. Ah, okay, right, I get you. So that, so that's obviously a function that's been on the mounted units, but not on a handheld.
Not on a handheld, so... Right. It's finally on a handheld, which is really cool. We haven't really got to test the range or anything like that because we're kind of driving close together. But it does have a 5-watt, a 1-watt, and a 0.5-watt.
Yes. Can I just ask you quickly what that means?
Okay. So five watt is the maximum power that we are legally allowed without a license in Australia on a UHF radio.
Yep.
Which means that it can cast up to 5 watts. Had we been allowed 25 watts on this radio, you would get a much further range. The signal will be more powerful.
Yep.
So, for example, on a HF radio, I think they transmit 125 watts. So, if you touch that antenna, you'll get zapped.
Like really?
It's a proper zap. So, 5 watts is like nothing in the scheme of things, right? So, but that's all we're legally allowed. So, you get a lot of trucking companies, they'll have a license, $700 for the license, I think, per truck. And then they can talk, but they're only allowed to use it outside the city and it's a private channel. Right. So it doesn't work that one person has it.
You can like tune your UHF.
You can tune your UHF.
It's like an aftermarket tune on the UHF.
Yes.
It's like on a go-kart when you take out the limiter or something like that. That's
Yeah. Well, that's it. Pretty much.
Am I making any sense with these?
You are. You are.
Great analogy.
Perfect analogy.
Take the limiter out.
Exactly.
All the go-kart riders out there.
There are, in fact, some radios you can get and you can make them 25 watts illegally. But if you get caught, it's a pretty big fine.
It's in the tens of thousands.
Is it really?
It's not worth trying.
How do you get caught?
Well,
I'm not encouraging it, but how do you get caught?
If you regularly use it, people know that we're getting the signal because 25 to 5 watts is a massive difference.
Okay. Mm.
And you'll be overpowering everyone.
Ah, righto.
That's the other thing.
Yeah. I think from what I've heard, there are officials that drive around with like a SWR meter or some weird thing that can pick up strengths and then...
They'll probably have to triangulate you or something.
Imagine getting done by that. So it's not worth the risk, but there's ways.
Yeah, it's like the radio version of the fisheries, right?
Yeah, that's
We don't want to be done by the fisheries if it's anything like that.
Oh no, definitely not. So it does have a function of 5 watt, 1 watt, and 0.5 watt. And I can't remember who was it that asked me about that. Why would you have? Must have been Jono.
Well, why would you have a 0.1 watt?
No, that was actually me.
Oh, was it you? Okay. Yeah. So why would you have? Why would you have the ability to go down to 1 watt or 0.5 watt? Because then you're limiting your range. It's exactly that. So you can have a private conversation.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'll see here as well. It actually, the run time at 0.5 as opposed to 5 watts is.
Sorry, but it's 0.1.
It goes down to
0.1.
Oh,
0.1.
Wow.
0.1.
Probably barely. I wouldn't even be able to pick you up. You're talking to Torbs on 0.1. That's what I'm imagining.
Yeah.
Mate, if you're talking to him right there, he won't be able to hear you.
Dago's been a prick. Did you always get that? All right, we're getting off track here. So, yeah, so at 0.1 watt, it's 67 hours, a max of 67 hours, 33 for 1 watt, 22.5 for 5 watts, which is a decent.
That's not bad for a handheld.
That's holding a button now and talking, right?
Yeah, I'm assuming, yeah.
And probably receiving as well. Receiving does cost power.
Yeah. And voice playback stores 12 minutes of recordings.
Oh, 12? Okay, so it's not as much as a handheld.
Yeah.
I mean, the fixed mount.
Fixed mount. Fixed mount does 10 recordings.
Oh, no, I've had it up to 60.
Oh, wow.
I actually sat there and pressed it.
No wonder you come up with all this stuff on the videos that I've said and I don't remember.
It's about 21.
He's just piecing them all together.
Yeah.
There might have been a bit of unsavory language on the radio between us, so I'll just turn it off and reset it.
So that's pretty good, 12 minutes of recordings, and it records the first 30 seconds of every transmission.
Oh, okay, 30 seconds.
Yeah. Yep. A couple of the other little factors or features, I should say, is the screen. If you can flip around the, I don't know which camera's looking at you, but a bit of colour, apparently.
Yeah, it's got a colour.
Yeah, just some of the fancy screen stuff that comes with it. IP67 protection, which is basically dust tight, waterproof. You can cop it with a jet spray and you can immerse it up to a metre for potentially 30 minutes. Like, that's what it's sort of designed to last for underwater.
Not sure about this unit, but we've had other units where we've dropped them, sometimes left it somewhere because we got a shot and then had to go back and get it later
puddles of water, mud, everything.
Like my oldest radios, they've been flogged. The only thing that's broken is the clip on the back.
Yeah.
And you can replace that anyway.
That's true.
Bluetooth, GPS.
Yeah.
Any other major talking points you reckon worth touching on?
Yeah, definitely. If you're going to use one of these or any handheld radio inside your car because you don't have a fixed mount radio, it's fine.
Yeah.
And it's fine when you're talking because you're holding it up here because it needs line of sight. So you need to go through the windows.
Yeah.
But you can put a what do you call it? Like the hand mic?
Yeah.
You know what you call it? Yeah. The hand microphone. You can put those to most decent radios, which means you can fix this somewhere in the car or in a cradle and then you can talk.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's going to receive as well because normally these will end up taking up your cup holder and you won't always get the best signal because you're blocked by your whole car. And generally speaking, you've got your car full of cargo in the back.
Yep. Yeah, righto. Can you hook up that button? Remember Tony in Sydney showed us that? I think you might
Bluetooth?
Have
Bluetooth?
Yeah.
Yes, you will be able to do that
steering
to this
button,
too.
Yeah.
Because it has Bluetooth connectivity.
That's a cool function.
Yeah, it is. Now, Jono tried to connect it to my AirPods. We couldn't get that to work.
Right.
So, I'm not sure. But I might reach out to Tony and just ask him if that's possible.
Yeah.
But
friend of the show, Tony.
Yeah.
Great man. So, it retails at $549. Sounds better than $550. Quick yes or no?
I think if you don't have a fixed mounted radio and you want something you could take in and out of the car, I'd say yes.
Yep.
If you do have a fixed mounted radio, if you have the money, then yes. But otherwise, you know, if you got money you need to spend somewhere else, get like the previous model, you know, the one that doesn't have all the fancy stuff, because you can have the fancy stuff in your fixed mounted one, meaning that's the one that's fixed inside your vehicle. You have all those functions.
Yeah, right.
That's what I would say. Yep. So I'd say if you didn't have one of those, then get one of these.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Torbs, yes, no?
I would give it a yes.
Yep.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm picturing it as a really great unit for someone that's into their mountain bike trips or hiking trips as well. rather than just four-wheel drivers. Because we have so many options to mount or, you know, we're usually in a convoy when we're talking on one anyway. But,
yeah,
like there's some really good safety features on this too for people that are out in the bush on foot a little bit further away from
anything. So in that sense, I would then it just makes sense because you can actually see who is transmitting to you as well.
Yeah.
And if it's anything like the XRS that's in the car, because I don't know enough about this because I only just started using it, you should be able to see where they are on your phone app map.
Yep.
You should be able to triangulate that signal because remember we tried that out at Ningan Station, Utabana, out there somewhere. We were able to see how far away we were from each other. So if you're mountain biking, you full drive out there, in your Hiluxes and Rangers, get your mountain bikes out, go for a ride. Someone comes off, at least I reckon, if it functions the same way, which I believe it does, you'll be able to
track them down.
Yeah, okay, so you'll be able to hone in on them and see where they are.
That you do film that test, I think.
We did a distance test.
Yeah, I remember watching that.
With like the antenna on the roof and trying to see the
with my beautiful singing.
Very
good. That's a yes all round good unit. I think
for the right use, yes.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
But if you just want simple stupid, then just go like the previous model to this, which I think is a 6600. Right. Yeah, which is a really good model as well.
Yep. Yep. Very good. GME quality products. And how good's the story of GME actually?
Australian
made, out of a garage, early days, and just became what it's become.
Yeah. It's pretty cool. It's like the underdog becomes
the
big dog.
Big dog.
Yeah.
A little bit like what we're going to touch on next. I would.
It's a good segue, mate.
Yeah.
Underdog becomes a big dog.
It's a good segue.
The 76, the new big dog.
Oh, the new big dog. Yeah. The 76.
Now, this is where you guys can just take over, really. I don't have to do much more. Recent trip. So, Torbs, I'm going to assume that it was your first time really sort of seeing what the 76 can do out in the bush.
First time,
Run us through where you've just come back from.
I reckon, Duggo, ask him first what he thought when I first bought it.
Yeah, actually, that'd be good to get your thoughts on that because we all had our own thoughts around it. And Ronnie's put a few of our thoughts like to sleep. Like we've all become really excited about this vehicle all of a sudden. But how are you feeling when he first went for it?
Well, when he first went for it, it was actually the chef up on camp that told me, oh, did you know that Ronnie's bought the new Cruiser? And I lost it. I absolutely pissed myself and I thought, why would you do that?
Did you feel like he was cheating on the V8s a little bit?
Oh, 100%, yeah.
Just jumped in bed with the 76.2. 2.8 litre straight away.
He might as well have just got a Nissan. I don't know.
Wow.
These are original thoughts. My original thoughts.
And as everything, things change.
Yes, so, right.
Yeah.
He's finding this hard.
You did at the start too, but look where you've got to.
I did. Yeah, it's,
All right, so let's get into it then. Where have we just come back from and then... I want to pretty much jump straight into what your thoughts are now, Torbs.
Mm.
Okay. Well, we went to Jaeger up and this was for a shakedown trip. It's the first trip for the 76.
Yeah. What's on the 76 now?
Well, actually? there's a roof rack so I could carry the swag and all that.
Yep.
That impacted on my fuel, by the way. Not the roof rack, the swag.
Right.
And we got the 33s on it. We got the rock sliders on it because, I nearly binned it the other day. As I spoke to you guys on WhatsApp,
that was a scary message to receive.
I
just thought I was going to get the 76 cheap. So
I actually thought I did both doors there. But anyway, that's the story for another time. But so we went to Jaeger up, and I wanted to hand the keys to Torbs. So we did some of the obstacles, and then hand the keys, and then he could have a go as well. He drove it on the highway. So I'm not going to say what he thought because you can ask him. He's right here. Drove it on the highway.
Is he?
He took it up the entrance of Jaeger up, Dune. And you took it up the main Dune because you couldn't do Cork uphill.
No, so we did Jaeger up Dune.
So we did Jaeger up Dune, which is bloody soft.
Yeah.
That was actually hard going.
It's like talcum powder at the moment. So.
Yeah.
Right.
You couldn't start halfway and then go. It's just, it's too steep.
Yep.
And the sand is really, it's a heavy, dense, but soft, if that makes sense, which makes it even harder. It's hard work for your car. It's like 40 litres per 100 plus just moving around there.
Oh, yeah.
Heavy, dense, soft. Let's just see what the meaning of that is.
Yeah.
On Google, if you don't mind.
Heavy, dense,
heavy, dense, soft.
We need a word for that one. Need a new word in the dictionary.
Heavy, dense, soft. I like it.
Yeah. Oh, we put it through seawater.
We typed it in. Comes up with types of poop.
Yeah. That sound can be pretty shit sometimes.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Well, actually, that would explain how I felt the first time I thought about the new 70.
It's a heavy, dense, soft feeling.
Yeah. Heavy, dense, soft feeling. Yeah.
Very good.
All right. Well, yep. Torbs, how did it go, mate?
It went all right. Yeah. Ooh. No, it impressed me.
Yeah, okay.
Wow. Yeah.
Sorry, mate. Keep going. There's
a few negatives. Yep. I have quite a few negatives.
Oh, quite a few.
Quite a few, yeah. Well, if you break them down into tiny little bits and pieces, yeah, there's quite a few, but they're all cosmetic.
Right.
So.
So what was the biggest surprise for you?
Biggest surprise was how a little Lego-sized engine could actually go so hard.
Right.
Yeah.
And you haven't driven the Prado.
No.
I'm assuming you've been in the Hilux before.
You had a Hilux before.
Yeah, I've had a Hilux before. Yep. I drove Ronnie's most recent Hilux.
Yep. But this is different? This feeling?
This is different. Actually, I drove a Prado all around the East Coast last year.
Yep.
This was definitely different.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear it because I look at you blokes in your hats and your, you know, Torbs in the boots and you're 70 fans, long serving 70 fans, and then
Concrete Cowboys.
Yeah, but I think it's awesome for everyone to hear that this, you know, because not everyone's in the market for a big V8, they don't need it,
or they don't want a manual
or a man. Yeah, yeah. Some of us.
Yeah.
Or they can't drive a manual. No.
Yeah. That's more the point nowadays, isn't it?
Well, that is 100%. So it's putting the 70 in a market that. I think it's going to go I think off the way that you blokes talk about it. Like, there's enough people listening to your stuff, Ronnie.
Yeah.
That are going to they're going to buy it because of what you've been so gloating for it. So,
yeah. Mm. Can I just say that there are three people, and all these three people are convinced that it is a good thing and they wouldn't have thought it was.
Yep.
Torben being one of them.
Yeah.
Luke from OTF being the other one.
Yep.
Now, these are you guys are like people that, like, you'll say how shit is. So if it's like shit, it's shit. If it's good, it's good.
Yeah.
Yep.
It you know, and then there's Harry from Fight to Fall. He's also a very honest man. Doesn't matter, cameras, no cameras. These three people are very hard and honest. Yep. Like,
Harry is a known 70 disliker too. So
yes. So they will tell you. If it's, you know, they don't hold shit back.
Yeah.
So those three, I was actually surprised that all three of them.
Yeah.
And then myself as well to sort of be like, wow, actually this car is pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bit of a hat trick.
Yeah. But there might be a slight backflip on if I'm going to keep it or not, because I'm not 100% sure, because I want to make sure that it can still do two more tests.
Right. Bing?
35s.
Yep.
And... The towing with 35s.
Okay.
And then the wagon life. Do I like wagon life? We just came back from a trip. I really enjoyed it, but I have to keep in mind something new is always fun, right?
Yeah.
I want to make sure that wagon life is something that that I like. There's one thing I really like about it though. It's restricting me on how much I can carry, because it's not like a U. I can't just chuck everything in it. It's not like the Trooper you can make at home on wheels. This is, you know, and Jaden will know what I'm talking about. I mean, being a wagon man himself, 76 as well.
Yep.
And I've got to show you what I've done to it as well.
Love to see it.
I've done this lightweight thing.
Yeah.
And if I can put up with this lightweight thing, not put up with it, refine it and learn how to get the most out of it, then I think I'm going to be sold on it.
I think if you cut a few things down out of your diet, then you might be all
right. Oh, yeah. You can elaborate on that.
Is this a recent... he's usually like really like it. The little amounts of time that we've spent together on the road, he's got the most self-control I've ever seen out of anyone.
Except for when it comes to iced coffees.
Oh, yeah, that's actually a good point.
Who prioritizes a whole fridge just for iced coffee?
Those Hunt and Brews?
I think it's a mix of everything.
Nah,
isn't it?
No, Jono. Jono had the Dares.
Oh, the Dares. Yeah, the sugar bombs. So. Yeah,
I'm on the Hunt and Brews, less sugar.
Nah.
He's hunting hard for a Hunt and Brew sponsorship, actually.
Oh, I've never reached out, but I'm officially reaching out now.
Yeah, he's listening.
Well, if that's the case, I'm reaching out to Boss.
Are you like the Boss ones?
Yeah.
In the cans?
In the can, but I drink black. So.
Ah, righto. Yep. Cosmetic stuff that you spoke about, Torbs.
Yes.
The little... imperfections or whatever, I don't know what you called them, but that's the word that came to my mind.
Tupperware things.
What are they?
Yeah. Well, the first one that stands out for me straight away is the auto shifter.
Right.
It looks like to me they have got Tupperware containers, stacked them together and smoothed off the edges and then put a shifter in it.
Yeah, right.
For a car that costs more than 80 grand.
Yeah.
Could have... put a little bit more love into that.
Okay. Yeah.
So
it does look 3D printed.
It's stuff similar to that.
Yes.
Which has been a talking point for us too, because we don't actually know why it's a very similar price to the V8.
Yeah.
You do get a little bit more tech, but if you've got Tupperware containers as a gear shifter, it's just they're the things that we thought may have been of better value.
Yeah,
I suppose. If you're not getting
the V8. Prado's less in price, but that's finished off nicely.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
They could have probably taken it from the Prado and fit it in there. You
I think
know.
It's currently less in price, but I think it's going to be more. But also think, you're totally right what you're saying. I 100% agree. But also think because, you know, like my 79 and your 79, you've got the custom interior put in. So bring yourself back to... what your car looked like when you first got it. They've actually improved it by 5%.
They have. The so they went they went from the Woolies Decor containers to Tupperware. So.
Right. Oh, yeah. So it's gone up. Yeah. You're paying 10 bucks rather than 3.
Yep.
That's a good little bit on 76. I like that you're a fan, mate. I appreciate you coming on here and admitting that.
Just give me half of you go back to Newman. Chef's going to give it to you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I've come out of the closet now. Yeah.
Hey, let's touch on what Ronnie mentioned it there, but your beast, Little Bear.
Mm.
Let's touch on how long you've had that thing, the name, pretty iconic car. I've seen you on the road before, actually, and because of such an iconic car, I know who's in there.
Yeah.
I think this was even before Ronnie and I started doing this. So talk to us about that, how far it's gone and it's been around.
So I got that car. So March
2012, wasn't it?
It's a December 2012 car.
Yep.
Got it in March 13. I think I got it only a couple of weeks before you.
Oh, yeah.
Yours?
Yep.
It's a brand new.
Yep. Well, it was an X demo, so it had 17 kilometers on the clock, but pretty much brand new. And I've clocked over officially on the clock, it's about 460,000 Ks on the clock. But because of the bigger tires, there's a 13% difference. So if you add the 13%, it's over half a million.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I'm all right at maths, but yeah, that one's not coming to me that
yeah,
quick.
Yeah, no, so. I won't be even attempting. But yeah, okay. So
it's
what have you? I know you chop and change between a couple of different
490,420.
Yes.
There you go.
There you go.
That's at half a mil.
Quick math.
Half a mil, yeah.
The dual cab's done 260 on the clock.
Yep.
But officially it'd be like 300 or something.
Yeah, right.
Close to that.
Yeah. So it was a couple of some Ks, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, it's incredible. And is it, how's it going? Like, how's it feeling?
It's going good.
Yeah.
So it's still all the original touch wood.
Yeah, yep.
Injectors and all those bits and pieces. I mean, it's got a lot of mods on it.
Yeah, yeah.
So for a car that's, I would actually call it quite a highly worked car.
Absolutely.
It's doing well.
I would have thought.
I thought you only drove to church on Sundays, mate.
Yeah. Church in Newman.
Yeah, church in Newman. Yeah, that's. I do go to church in Newman every Sunday morning.
There you go. You're obviously driving Little Bear. Yeah.
But it's not the church that everybody thinks it is, but it's the only way that work doesn't complain about me nicking off for a few hours every Sunday morning.
Right.
So, yeah.
I get you. We won't dive too far in, just in case there's some listeners out there at the higher ups. But so Little Bear, where'd the name come from?
So Little Bear is actually my name. So
yes,
Torben is Thor's son's name,
right?
And his nickname, I guess, would be the Bear, Little Bear.
Yep.
Different versions.
Yep.
So righto. Yeah, that's where that came from. So,
yeah. Okay. Yep. Yeah. That's cool because there's. Because you both Denmark?
Both Danish.
Danish, yep.
Mm.
Right, yep. That's cool.
Yeah.
Like so, I don't get to call my car something cool because Liam. What's Liam mean? You figure that out, please, Jaden. I want to put a sign on my
Chihuahua
car.
Power.
Yeah, in a Ranger it probably is.
The Flying Eagle, mate.
Flying Eagle. That sounds like a sex move or something.
apparently it means strong-willed warrior.
Oh, the warrior.
In Irish.
Irish?
It is, yeah. We are Irish, so I can probably use that.
There you go. You're a strong-willed warrior. Helmet of will.
Helmet of will. The helmet.
Which is just, that just reminds me of like helmet of will, like helmet of Schofield or something.
Oh, yeah. That's true. It's a full circle moment.
Yeah, it's a full circle thing.
There you go. Sitting in your studio.
There you go, mate. All right,
that's cool. Torben Little Bear, I like it. All right, so I'm just going to have to jump straight into it. But, oh, no, I'll go back.
Go back, okay.
What got you into four-wheel driving and a love of camping and all that? Because
it's just being out in nature has always been one of those things for me.
Yep.
And then getting the opportunity for me and Ronnie to be, you know, hitting the tracks and that. Oh, geez, that'd be going back. Originally, probably 12.
About 12 years.
About 12 years.
Yeah, right. Yep.
Ago. And just the passion grew more and more and more.
Yep.
So.
Yep. So you started at a similar time. Is that what I'm hearing? With that sort of stuff?
With
I think you were doing just kind of some of your own things, and then I was like in a circle of friends. We went out quite a bit.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So then, like, because our parents know each other, and then we did like a father-son trip.
Oh, yeah.
And it was on the father-son trip. From there, we started organizing more trips.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, so it's like we brought the old boys, and then like some of our mates who had like young sons, or whatever.
Yep.
they brought them along. So it was it's like a bit of a boys' trip.
So you've known each other for a long time.
Since we were both little shits.
Yeah, right.
That's probably a good description. Actually,
now we're two big shits, so so nothing much has changed.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh, that's awesome.
You were older than me, so I was able to blame shit on you. So.
Yeah, typical.
Big brother.
Yeah, it was the one causing all the trouble, and I'd be the one to cop it.
Yeah,
maybe not all the time, but
there was no evidence back then. So
yeah. So have you done any time over in Denmark?
No, I have never been back.
Oh, right. Yeah. So born there.
Born there.
Yep.
Immigrated when I was three. So a little while ago.
Yep.
And. Yeah, I'm the only one in the family that has never been back.
Yeah, right. Any desire?
Not at this stage. No. I've always said I want to see all of Australia before back to somewhere like Denmark.
But you'd never make it there then.
No, that's right. So, but yeah, right. Yeah, it's starting to branch out and check out other parts of the world now.
Yeah.
So
yeah, cool.
Yeah, just getting to that stage where you can and
yep. Yeah, awesome.
And appreciate it more.
Yep. Yeah, bloody oath. All right, now I can get to it because we've covered a little bit of the background stuff, but a lot of people know probably a little bit about you anyway, so we don't have to spend too long on it. But the one that we have constantly spoken about on this podcast, the shows that we've done over East is...
He knows what's coming.
He knows what's coming.
It can only be one thing.
The Simpson Desert, we're going to call it incident.
Incident?
We've had our... Well, we've had it up on this screen. The viewers have all seen it, the ones that are on YouTube, and a lot of people have obviously seen it over on Ronnie's channel. How were you feeling in that moment? You're fanging across that salt lake, and what was the actual feeling inside the doors of Little Bear?
The first 30 seconds, an absolute fucking hero.
Yeah, like just fanging across, just loving life.
Like. I'm fanging across, and I mean, looking back at it, it looks like I'm going a lot faster than I really was. But you know, going out saving the cameraman, the hero of the day, all that mud, it was great fun. And yeah, then I stained the seat, and but I can look back at it now, and the goosebumps aren't as bad.
Yep.
And I kind of pat myself on the back now that I was actually able to recover from the first part. But yeah, that hole in the middle of the lake, that sucked.
It would have felt like a car crash, I'm assuming. Like was it that heavy a hit, or was it
looked like a heavy hit.
The bounce was a big heavy hit, and that's when the heart stopped for a second, breathing stopped, but I controlled it, and then I was just felt good again, and then it was just like the gods above were like, "Nah, you're going down, buddy."
Yeah, yeah.
So,
is that initial reaction in your head like, did you think almost show's over for Little Bear sort of thing? Like
not.
Or did you think you were going to chance to get out of there?
I thought I had a chance to get out of there. Because I was still able to go back a bit and forward, and I knew I had the power, the car was capable to do it, but it just wouldn't pop out. And it wasn't until we got the car out and we realized why, aside from two tires off the rims and snap CV, and she wasn't climbing out with
her own steam.
It would have been. Because I was unlocked, so it would have been one-wheel drive at that stage.
Yeah, well, you had the locker in, didn't you?
Not at that stage, no.
When you were trying to get out, though?
It wouldn't engage that stage,
Okay.
So.
Right. Yeah. So, trigger my memory. How did we retrieve?
Well, I had to go around the long way.
That's right.
And it wouldn't have been too sketchy if I wasn't towing. But even going around a long way, I'm going through the edge. You go around, it's like a bit of a longer way. But even that, I had crossings. I had to stop at one stage. I had to sort of compose myself because I was in a rush to get to the other side because I could see the situation he was in.
Yep.
Well, kind of somewhat see the situation.
Yeah.
I couldn't tell how bad it was, but it seemed pretty bad. So I'm trying to go around and getting the car sideways. I was like, nah, just slow down because otherwise you're going to end up stuck as well, and then three cars stuck.
Yeah.
And it was this one last crossing I had to do. So I got across that, did all right there, come around, then I had to unhitch the trailer and then look at the situation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And at that time, the Birdsville races were on.
Oh, yeah.
So I did a safety call for the tow truck.
Yep.
Just to let them know this is what's happened. We're going to try and do it ourselves. But just so you know, when I call you back, if I call you back. But then he pretty much said, oh, well, Birdsville races are on. We're not coming out till at least a day or two or something.
Yeah, right.
And I was thinking, okay.
That
makes that decision.
Yeah,
isn't
yeah.
It?
So I was gonna say he's just getting over that.
So seeing Torben's situation, I said to Torben, I've already called them. They're on standby.
Yeah,
I just said that to him because like he needed to hear something. Yeah, like, he needed to know his car's coming out.
I'd be
and then
stations.
Yeah, oh. And then that's why I sort of pulled the guys aside. I said, this is the situation. We got to do this ourselves. So let's just get into action, and then we got in.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And then, yeah, we got the Prado out first, and that came out so easy, and we're like, cool.
Might be right.
This is possible, because now I've got a car in front of me that I can winch out on if I get stuck.
Yep.
And then we moved back, and then I was sliding trying to pull you out, so it didn't work. So Jono came up with the idea of taking the Max tracks off, put them on the ground, and then park the car on it. And I was like, that ain't going to work. But I was like, we've got nothing else to do, so let's just give it a go.
Yeah.
So we did it. The Max track slid like 10 mil. That was it. And it sat there, and I was like, holy shit, this is bloody good. Just learn something new.
Yeah, right.
And then we're able to pull Torbs out, and it was just like this slow thing, pulling him out. Yep. And then your CV snapped on the way out. Halfway up, or just did a clunk. So it might have been snapped, I think it just went just, clunk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was the, I think that was the final draw of the CV was popping out.
Yeah.
So
I can't remember did you drive it out? Did you get out of the Simpson?
Yeah. We drove it out.
Yeah.
So after, what did we do? We changed the wheels.
Yeah. And we left the rest for the next day.
It was that evening. I actually had an electrical fire as well.
That's right.
Yeah. Really? So once we let all the water out, because the angle that I was on, the whole driver's side filled up.
Right.
So, and once that water had come out, all the electrics down in the footwell caught on fire. Mm. So being a sparky, my first instinct was just jump in with a pair of pliers and I just cut everything. Right. So, yeah.
How's that for it? Double
so I spent that night
rewiring.
Yeah, rewiring
okay.
The car. And then in the morning we removed the CV and continued on.
Just imagine if like that was same thing happened to someone like myself with limited idea on how to, one, get out of the situation, but two, be able to get the car in a state to drive it out of there. It's just like it's almost lucky it happened to you, blokes. They're not – unlucky for you, Torbs, but like if it was anyone else, there'd only be a handful of people with the right gear and know how to get out of that situation. I would have thought.
You never know. You might wait and you get someone come past and stuff. And
true. Yeah. Well, the Simpson not for the faint-hearted. So there's probably not people.
Yeah,
I'm not doing it solo. Put it that way. So you don't get me coming across giving your hand. But
it's pretty busy out there. You'll get someone coming along eventually. Yeah.
Yep.
But look, early days of not knowing too much stuff either, and we got ourselves into situations. Once everyone gets past that moment of, oh shit, what do we do?
Yeah.
You know, usually what happens is one person will see what's going on and go, does everyone just calm down? We've got this. You just need that one person to go, no, we can do this. We can do this. And then that positivity just leaches into people and everyone can kind of have a bit of hope. And then from there, you just collectively come up with an idea.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the best thing. And I think these situations that we've gotten ourselves in numerous times, they just make you more prepared for next time.
It's definitely.
Oh, well, we'll just get out and we'll sort this out later. In about 2 weeks' time, once the car's fixed, we'll have a laugh about it.
Yeah. Which we've done, sorry, mate, a few times.
Oh, that's right.
But I'd encourage people to go across and have a look if you haven't seen it, because it's a pretty incredible recovery, really.
Was it my fault with the radio?
Wouldn't happen with that thing. But let's get on to, because there has been a long history, obviously, for 12 years or so since you probably both got your cruisers, been doing a lot of camping and stuff together. What's it actually like? We've been on a trip with Ronnie now and it was a basic trip just back across the Nullarbor, and we spent a few nights, Jaden and I, and with Raffa and Jono. But what's it like camping regularly with Ronnie?
Shit.
Give us a quick rundown of what it's like, because we obviously know, camp in the dark, that we figured that out. We got that treatment too.
Yep. That you just, you eventually get used to it.
Yep.
It's, yeah, when you don't turn up and camp in the dark, it's like, what the something hell is going wrong here? So what's up? Has he got something planned or?
So is he was very good to us. Like we didn't really lift a finger around the campsite. Is he like that?
No, hell no. No.
You pull your weight, do you?
Yeah, you do. You all have your jobs, and if you're not on it sometimes, depending on how the day's gone.
Yeah.
It's a bit like, now I've got to be careful here because certain people might be listening. So he has his good days and he has his bad days.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but it's all fun at the end of the day. So
yeah, very good. Well, Ronnie says that you have a unique style of camping. So I don't understand what that unique style is.
Unique style?
Yeah.
The only thing I can think of is I get up when I get up.
Yeah, that's one of them.
When do you get up?
When I'm ready.
When we start rocking his car.
Yeah.
What is your camping? What is your camping setup at the moment? Is it
Rooftop?
You're a rooftop.
Yeah.
What rooftop is it?
I've got the Camp King Industries rooftop.
Ah, so, righto. Yeah.
So
love that.
Love it. Nice and comfy.
Yep.
Had it in all sorts of weather, and yeah, it's been great.
Yep. Righto.
The only thing it's missing is aircon.
Oh, in the tent.
In the tent.
Little fan or something like that.
Got a little fan. Yeah. Makes a difference.
Aircon would be nice in a rooftop tent.
Oh, yeah, especially because Ronnie doesn't like to do things like normal people. So let's go to Kununurra in November, December. Because, yeah, that's the perfect time of year. Yeah. Mm. So yeah, an aircon would be great.
Maybe Ronnie's the one with the unique style of camping.
Yeah.
Deciding to go.
You got to experience. You got to experience things that you'll probably never go and experience again.
Mm.
You seem to be like, doing it on a regular basis, mate.
Like sideways, raining sideways with crickets and.
Oh God.
We were so cooked from the heat and the humidity. We had enough, and you were out of icy poles, and we were deep frying food, and the crickets start falling in the deep fryer. So we're like.
Oh. Did you have a try?
Let's deep fry some crickets. Mm. No, we did.
You did?
And they all got names. Headless bastard, legless bastard.
Fat bastard.
Fat bastard. Skinny bastard.
What were the crickets named?
That's what we call them.
Yeah. So
it was literally raining sideways. It was like, you know what? Let's just eat them.
Yeah.
You know? I've eaten worse stuff than that.
Oh, yeah.
They're quite crunchy. Nice.
Well, hang on. I reckon there's something down here. Did you put something in this run sheet about Ronnie eating shit?
Did you actually eat shit, Ronnie?
Oh, yeah. I know what, I think
you know what
about.
We're talking
camel
about.
Camel shit.
Camel shit. You ate camel shit.
It was a bit of a skit.
Yeah.
They were actually chocolate coated coffee beans, and we saw some camel shit on the road, and we just did a thing like, oh, you know, tracking an animal. You got a light. Yeah, that's a camel. And then the skit was, Torb's like, you could just look at the footprints.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
But yeah,
a little bit of humor. Yeah, I like it.
Yeah, someone sent in a question on it, so I put it in the sheet.
Oh, is that? Yeah, I did see that. Yeah,
but I have fallen over a few times and eaten shit.
Yeah,
yeah. I was gonna say, is that like just a fall over eat shit or?
Yeah,
there are some around the fire pit questions. I've just accidentally scrolled down to that. That's where I found that.
Don't go too far, mate. Stay on topic.
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I want to figure out what my unique camping.
Well, yeah. Well, that.
You got to ask the person next to you, mate. He's the one who said it.
Unique camping style.
Meh.
Unless you meant like you both have this unique camping style.
Yeah. Unique camping style. Only thing I can really think of, it might be in a conversation we must have had, Jaden. You have to remind me of it. But there is a unique camping style. I know you're gonna dig up some shit on me here soon, so I'll dig something up on you. So when we're on the road, Torben is often referred to as the porcelain queen.
Porcelain queen.
Sometimes he'll wait till we get to a road stop.
I'm with you there.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
I know a lot of people would be.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's one of them. But you do have that interesting toilet seat you carry. You got an interesting routine down.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I've got a toilet seat.
That you just to bring in and put on the road stop
No. When we're out camping, I have – it's like a little fold-out chair, but it's a toilet seat.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Perfect. So I've heard too many stories of people going out, having a squat in the bush, and stumble and go backwards.
Really?
I'm not taking that chance.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, yeah.
I guess it could happen, couldn't it? Yeah.
I don't really want to dip it in.
No. Yeah. Mm. I don't want to go too far into the subject, but yeah. I mean, there was that – remember that one time in New South Wales – I had to go in the morning, and I came back to tell you the story, but I like to dig a hole first. So I dug the hole first, ready to do my business. Fucking dug up an ant's nest, didn't I?
Oh.
I was like, holy shit. All right, run over, dig another one. And then I did that 3 times in a row, and I was like, you know what? I'll dig after. And that's what I did. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, here, cop this, ants.
Hey, shit. Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. I'm a what is it? Porcelain queen.
Porcelain queen.
Yeah.
If I'm not busting that bad, and I know that there's something coming up.
Yep.
I'll just wait.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite. I don't like public toilets. I hate them.
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel dirty, so I'll go to the bush, find a nice view.
Does that make sense?
Sounds funny. Just hearing Ronnie say, I feel dirty. Yeah.
I feel dirty if I use the toilet.
What have you done in the past?
Excuse me.
Well, I'm just getting the feeling that, Ronnie, you're the one with the unique camping style here and everyone else is normal.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
You
stitched
yourself up there, Ronnie. Another one we've got here is the Coffs Harbour incident. Another incident.
Oh, in the dark. In the dark, that angle you were on.
Oh, that was yes. That was an interesting. I think I was actually enjoying that and laughing the whole way through. But
I think Nathan might have spread a bit of panic.
Yeah, sorry, Nathan Beardman. I have to give him shit.
Was he the host of the Coffs Harbour tour, or is he?
No, he's a mate of ours that came along. He was in the passenger side. I have never seen someone go so white.
Oh, really?
He was white knuckling. I thought he was going to rip that Jesus bar off the side of my car because we were on such an angle.
Was he up,
was he? He was down.
Oh, he was down.
So I was looking down at him.
Right.
And I'm laughing away and I swear he was going to start crying. sorry, Nathan. Once we got out of that situation, he got out of the car and walked the rest of the way.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's hard being a passenger, though. You're not in control.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, no, it's worth walking, though. But, right. He's that nervous about it.
Oh, yeah.
Had the winch you.
Yeah. Like, looking back at the footage.
Solid.
And if he was, what was it? Wayne walked past the car.
Well, he walked
under the car.
Oh. Yeah.
Right. So it didn't feel that bad.
The 79, you're in yours?
Yeah, in mine. But when he walked past and walked under the driver's front wheel.
Yeah. Mm. That was a big hole.
I'll have to go back and look at that. Is that when you towed that little trailer through?
No, that was, this is a time before that.
Right.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. This was our first visit to New South Wales.
Right.
Yeah. There was Danny who took us. Danny, the guy on the patrol.
Yes.
Yeah. Just took us up this wild track. What was it? It was called Nemesis. Was it Nemesis?
No, that's the sand dune on Simpson.
Oh, I can't remember what it was called. It was gnarly.
Yeah.
It was cool.
Morbid.
It was awesome. Morbid. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
that was a morbid situation.
Yeah. Sounds like it.
I have a question. Does your 79 have no shit bar in the passenger side?
No. I think that's the 75s that have that.
These have the airbags.
Yeah.
Mm. Wake up.
I've got the O-shit bar.
Yeah.
Your own 08?
09.
09. Oh, no, I still had it.
Mm. I think up to 11.
11, yeah.
Oh, really?
And yours is 12.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
I didn't know 11 had it.
That's probably why he was freaking out. It's no O-shit bar.
Nothing to hold on to.
Nothing to hold on to.
Yeah.
Oh, he didn't need to. He was down on his side, so he was laying down on the window and the door.
Just laying on the window,
holding
on.
He might have been upright.
When you're on an angle in the 70, you are on an angle in the 70.
Yeah. Another one I want to touch on is the goat wearing pants story.
Oh, jeez.
I don't really know where this is going, but
so that was you, wasn't it?
Yeah, that there. So
I don't know what you were on that night.
It was late arvo, so we were out at Murchison Off-Road Station, and we were doing a dingo track right at the back of the property. And while the boys were up ahead going through all these gnarly tracks, I was back. I was taking some photos, and then I looked across. And I swear I saw someone walk, but like there's 6 meter gap roughly. I swear I saw someone walk between the bushes, and then like we're at the edge of the property. There's, as far as we know, there's no one else out here. So I just got these full body just goosebumps as I was looking through the. I had a 300 mil camera lens, so I could zoom in, and like I was just like, I don't know. My mom was just playing around. It was just like
It was
like
right?
thinking about like. Is there a bullet going to come past my head or something? It was one of those moments. It was really eerie. Yeah. It felt weird.
Wolf Creek style.
Yeah, Wolf Creek style. Old Mick, and hey? I never really get that, Mick. But I just got that there. So I was just like, nah, it's, yeah. And then I was talking to, I think Sarah was there. So I said, Sarah, did you see that? And she's like, no. And then the boys come back and we're all having this conversation. Couldn't see anything. We went back to the station owners and we asked them if there was anyone else on the property. And they were like, no. And then I was like, just got goosebumps again. I was like, what the hell? Like, and then like they were making a bit of fun out of me, saying it was probably a goat wearing pants or something like that.
Ah, right.
So that was a goat wearing pants. But then we went to the haunted dam and all this other stuff. We were like, yeah, let's just keep going with this goosebump stuff.
Yeah.
So where were you? Murchison.
At Murchison Off-Road Station. Right. So when you're
I've heard some stories about it up that way that would, I would have been creeped out if I had seen that too. Like I would have been nervous because I've heard some stories from some mates of mine.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, some sort of old ancestral stories.
Yeah.
The one with the Aboriginal elder.
She was talking about that. Yeah. Standing on the other side of the river, but then you turn around, not there.
Yeah. Some stuff like that. Yeah.
You got all the mine shafts and stuff out there too. So all kinds of stuff happens. So it just plays your mind, you know.
Yeah, I would have now. If I go there now and I see something similar, I'm just gonna be like, it's a goat wearing pants.
Yeah,
that's what it was.
But yeah, that was. And you know what was interesting? It was like, it was almost like it was like a cursed trip, that one, because we went to, where did we go after that? We went to Lucky Bay, and it was windy as hell. I parked my 79 at the top of this dune. It was like a slight this, and then the dune went right down. It was parked there, and handbrake was on, okay? So you can see where this is going. The car wasn't running. Handbrake was on. Or was it running? No, it wasn't running. And I was taking photos. No. Guys were coming up the dune. All of a sudden, like, Torbs is beeping at me. And I was like, what's up, dickhead? You know, like, you're annoying me. I'm trying to take a photo. And then he's like, whoa, 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 whoa. And I turn around. I'm like, oh, shit. My car started going downhill. And Wayne was there that time. He was about to go up the hill, and my car's coming down the hill, but I'm over here. So I'm running after my car and not knowing whether to throw my camera or go for the car, because I thought the car's going to roll over. And then the wheel locked and it just stopped on this precarious angle. So I got in the car, steering lock, grabbed it, turned it on and just
got it. Yeah, she ghosted herself.
That's full on. Another save Ronnie situation. The time you saved Ronnie's life in the Kimberley, fell off a ledge into a croc-infested waters.
Yes.
Walcott Inlet,
yeah. You owe me big time for that one.
This is a pretty hairy moment.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we'd been driving all night to get out to the main inlet for
the King Tide.
Yeah, King Tide.
13-metre tide we wanted.
And Ronnie decided to go for a walk up to the edge and have a look, and, of course, all muddy banks, and it's a long way down, and he just went straight off the edge down onto the second level. So, that was a lucky save.
It's like when you're walking on mud and then all of a sudden you just go.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, by the time my hands touched the ground, they were already sliding down.
Jesus.
So,
Where's Walcott Inlet?
So,
Yeah, that's Mount Elizabeth Station.
Right. Yeah. It's a couple of days to drive in on this rough track. It's wicked country. Awesome track.
Beautiful country, yeah. Just off the Gibb River Road. Yeah, unfortunately, it has been shut.
Okay.
How'd you get him out?
Just reached down and...
Was he like dragging Roddy back grabbed up?
Yeah, pulled him back up.
Yeah.
So, not on camera, obviously.
No.
No, it was too dark anyway. That was the worst part. It was dark, so I couldn't really see. And scary. It was lucky it was like an extra bank, right? So had it gone down the next bank, I'd be in the actual water.
Yeah, right.
And like there's like salties everywhere.
Never seen so many crocs in one area. Yeah.
That was the same place our camp got flooded.
Oh, yeah. Everything went haywire there.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
So, we experienced the king tide, 13 metres. That was pretty epic, eh? Just like, you know, like the tides are epic as they are, but to experience the king tide, like it goes as low as it can, 6 hours later, it's right up. And we thought, this other spot where these guys camped, that should be all right. So we camped there, took the boat out. By the time we come back, the whole camp was like under water.
Yeah. And trying to get the boat out of the water, getting the cars out looking without for crocs dropping at the same in. Time.
And
I don't think anybody had even thought about because the water level had gone up. Well, of course, all the handbags can float straight in and.
And then, like, trying to get the cars around that tight corner.
Oh, yeah.
Like, the old boy nearly ended up.
Up in the.
in the drink, you know?
Yeah. Well, I think we did the old. Linking hands, hold onto the tree and then grab the bull bar. So as the car would come around, you'd pull the front of the car in the mud so it would turn it to get it around the corner.
It was just enough.
Yeah.
Wow. The old arm winch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was
and being lucky last, the tree sort of helped me a bit.
Yeah.
Was it just you two on the trip where your old man was there?
No, the old boy. Nathan was there.
Yeah. Oh, that's where he broke his chassis.
Yeah, the...
the boat.
The tow assembly on the back of the chassis, cruiser, snapped. So I ended up dragging the boat out of the Munger track. So,
The old boy's Jeep lost all the front end, like the steering dampener, the sway bar, exhaust.
Yeah. I'm starting to question why you do it to yourselves. shit goes wrong all the time.
Yeah.
Well, no, that was the Jeep.
The Toyota did also.
What's the go? Is your old man updated?
He sold the Jeep.
He sold the Jeep.
And now he's got a Cherry.
That's right. He's got has he got the Cherry now?
Yeah, he loves it.
He loves it.
Yeah. So no longer full drive.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he's passenger in yours if he wants to come out.
Yeah. He'll be passenger in mine. And he doesn't have to worry about driving in the dark.
Yeah, it's true.
That was his pet hate.
We could go all day, just keep bringing up stories, but we are mindful of time here, and so are the viewers and listeners probably. So we're going to go around the fire pit, Jaden. There's no stings. It is a clean cut episode.
Right.
Ooh, straight into it.
Have you got your head, Pete? You do. Can you hear the fire?
Yeah, I heard
around
the fire
pit.
I haven't heard that for a while.
I know.
Unfortunately.
43 degree heat day.
It's just everywhere fire. Around you, Newman.
Oh, well, downfall of living up in 2J.
Oh, you up there, are you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, we've had a lot of fires lately.
Yeah.
So.
Beautiful part of the world, though.
It is, yes.
But at risk this time of year.
Amount of fires you had up there, you must be running out of bush to first burn.
Well, you would think so, but the stuff comes back so fast.
Yeah, okay. Mm. Well, this, mate, is obviously an imaginary fire pit, but we just questions from the listeners. And the viewers, and they send them in. I usually shut down my laptop because usually it's on a topic or people just write in asking for our opinion, or mainly Ronnie's, and I just chime in where I can. But I think a lot of them today are directed at Torbs.
Oh,
Jaden.
Yeah, I think you can ask these today, mate.
Oh, you want me to ask them?
I mean, you can if you want.
Okay. Okay.
I'm happy to ask them.
Yeah, can you?
Okay.
Yeah, just.
Yeah, right.
You actually got a great. Podcast voice, Jaden.
No, not
me. I'm being honest. I listened back to something the other day, and I just thought, Jaden's got a really nice voice.
Because I have to edit these. I hate it.
No one likes the sound of their own voice.
That's probably true.
That's true.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's jump into
some people do. Not me, but there are some people.
Oh, come on, Ronnie. You love it, mate.
Yeah. You can't shut you up here.
Hello, Ronnie.
Ronnie Dove.
I sound like I've smoked 10 packs of cigarettes a day at my last few sessions. I mean, terrible. God, it's so nasally.
All right. So we got a few questions in for your Torbs. We only put it up last night. Thanks to both of you for sharing the post, by the way, the story. I'm probably pretty sure that's where we got a lot of our questions from.
Mm.
First one is from Day For It, Day underscore For It. Love that.
Day For It.
Day For It. How many kilometers on hotspot and how many different canopy setups have you been through?
So kilometers would be the 500,000 that we spoke about, and canopy setups. So we've had canvas, full alloy, then I chopped that alloy into a half box, so it's three, and then my current one, so four.
It's more than me.
What's your favorite?
My current one, for sure. Current one? Yeah.
How long's that been current for?
So that one's been current for, to be three to four years at least.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And keep in mind, it's over 12 years, I guess.
Yeah.
Almost 12 years. So a lot of people might think, geez, that's changing a lot. But most people change their car.
More than that, yeah.
Like within that time.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah. It's true.
That's what I keep telling myself anyway. Mm.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we figured that out on a podcast not long ago.
Yeah.
Didn't we?
7 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
Outback Off-Road NT, 500,000 Ks on the original Little Bear engine.
Yep.
Yeah, we've figured that out.
Original.
What are your service interval plans this year for the rig?
Every
How do you take care of it?
Every 5,000 Ks, I drop the engine oil, change the filter. Same with the fuel, just new fuel filter, and that's it. And then bearings every, it should be every 20,000, but it clocks up so far, so
there's
probably twice a year to three times a year I'd do a bearing replacement or repack.
Yeah, right.
And that's it.
How many do you replace? Like, how often would you replace during a year? Or generally just repacking? I suppose it depends on, like, trips as well, right?
Yeah, but mostly repacking, especially with the new rear diff now. Mm-hmm. So the Dana 60, I'm finding I'm only repacking.
Yeah.
With the original Toyota diff, the rear end was all... 80% of the time it was getting replaced, where the front was always a repack, unless there was water ingression, because we always did a lot of water crossing.
It's hard to keep shit out of the swivel hubs, really hard.
That's right.
Mm.
So, and unfortunately, sometimes I get a bit carried away with a high-pressure hose and knock a bit of the grease off the swivel hubs like I might have done yesterday, and... It's
That's probably a good tip for some people out there, just to be careful with the high pressure hose when you're underneath.
Particularly your engine as well.
Yeah, be careful.
MN underscore Grosso, what was the repair bill after the Salt Lake incident?
Oh, actually, I was meant to ask you that.
Oh, it was...
It's ongoing.
It was ongoing.
I thought you were about to say, it is ongoing. I was like, it's still going?
Well, I think I've got... everything now. I would say between 30 and 40.
Really? That much?
Yeah.
Wow, it's gone up.
Not including the tow truck home after doing the diff.
Right.
So, Jesus. Which was, it was all from the same thing.
Yeah.
So, that's it.
Jeez. And also, how are your spare tyres?
Yeah. That was a laugh. Yeah, they're good.
Honestly, it looks like a setup, and there's no way you could make it not look like a setup or whatever. It just happened. It was like, people are going to think this is a setup, the way they just came off. I could not believe it.
When Chris called over the radio, my first thought was, dude, it's too soon to be fucking around.
Yeah, and for me and Jono in the car was like, we looked at each other and thought, didn't we tighten those wheel nuts? Because we thought it was the wheels on the car. And then we got out and he's like, nah, he's there. And then he drives past us. He's like, oh, the spare, where's the spares?
Yeah, no one thought about when a tyre is deflated that the actual tyre itself moves.
Yeah.
So when you tighten it down, you think it's tight, but it's not.
You did ugga dugga as well. You're really tired when you put them back on. You're like...
Oh, yeah.
And that's probably...
Yeah.
But it just, they both came off the same time. It's just classic. Oh,
yeah.
Mate, yeah.
You can admit that it was set up, Ronnie. It's fine, mate.
It's probably easier just to say it was, but it wasn't.
No, that is crazy.
It wasn't.
Oh, it is.
It looked unreal. Have you seen that, eh, Dougo?
I think I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, the spare tyres on the back falling off at the same time.
Oh.
Have you seen that?
No, I thought we were talking about... No, I didn't know we were talking about that. What
did you
it?
Think we were talking about?
I thought you were talking about Simpson Desert still.
It is. Yeah.
It was after we Band-Aid fixed the car so he could drive it with limited steering because we forgot about the inner axle might come out.
After you've pulled it out.
So yep. After we pulled it out, the next day when we pulled the CV apart, pull all the broken bits out.
No, I'm starting to trigger my memory a bit. Yeah. I was laughing along there, not thinking of something else. But that's why I didn't really want to enter in because I was just yeah, that was funny. I'm starting to collect it a bit now.
Sorry, mate. I shouldn't have called you out. I'm
going to go back. No,
I want to know what moment you had. I want to know.
I had the crash moment, like when the tyres just came off the beat.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. I was thinking that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that makes sense as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because it was two, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, that's sort of starting to butt.
Yeah. Two tyres de-beated and two tyres falling off the back.
Well, it makes sense.
The same ones.
I do need to go back and watch it, though. It's bloody incredible.
The footage looks amazing.
Yeah.
We didn't record a lot at getting out because we just wanted to get out. And getting out was almost as hectic because the one that I got stuck in was the last one. And then Torps got stuck and then the Prada got stuck. We'd just gone through so many of these salt lakes, it was crazy, it was nuts.
Yeah.
And a lot of the time, like, people that, you can see they made tracks around, they're sunk down here and there. We had just had to go through the middle of most of them because that's where the ground is hardest.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then it's like a cess on the spot situation. And we were in a hurry because we're running out of daylight.
Yeah, right.
And
fuel.
Well, and fuel because we're waiting around.
Yeah.
We had enough fuel to go there, just not back.
Yeah.
You know, you can't carry that much fuel.
Yeah.
Because if you carry that much fuel, we'd just keep driving to Sydney then.
Yeah, that's right.
All right. I think we'll quick fire answer the rest of these. Everest Off-Road WA, what's the hardest track you've ever driven and would you do it again?
Ooh, hardest track.
Hardest track you've ever driven.
Hardest track would probably be Goat Road. Is it called Goat Road in Collie?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
That was probably the hardest. And, 100%, I'd go back.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 times over.
Brilliant. Yeah. This one, Jaden _ Gadishki. He asked, why a single cab and not a dual cab? But there's another one from Dyer Joe Venegas. If you had the chance, would you buy a single cab again?
Always single cab. I just prefer the single cab. And they drive differently and I don't have to carry all the mates.
Yeah, good point.
So nice. It's never my car because it can't fit everybody in.
Yeah,
so
good point. That's smart.
That's very good.
That's why.
It's one from GWM Tank.
The official page?
I guess so, yeah.
Hello.
Honest opinion on the Chinese 4x4 market as an affordable alternative?
I'll throw it to you.
Oh, God.
Because in the past two episodes, we've talked about the Tank 500 and the Tank 300.
Tank.
The 300 is the blatant, in my view, blatant copy of the Wrangler. The 500 is the vehicle that is going to rival the Prado.
And nice looking vehicle.
Mm.
And what's the model like? What's the brand, sorry?
GWM.
You would have seen the Great Wall Motors? You would have seen the Tank 300s on the road. You would have spotted them now. They're around a bit. The 500s are not yet.
No.
Okay.
Honest opinion on the Chinese 4x4 market.
The Chinese 4x4 market. I mean, there's a couple of brands there that have kind of copied the 70,
You're talking about the Mahindra?
Yeah. Well,
that is a new 70.
Me personally, this is my personal opinion, I wouldn't waste the money.
Fair.
Yeah.
That's your tank 300.
Oh, wow. It they looks just nice. Like a Jeep.
Yeah.
Hmm.
They're a much more affordable way of getting in.
Yeah.
Is what we put it down to. And they offer some decent, you know, you're going to get something out of them.
Yeah.
But yeah, untested as well, really. Yeah. Over here.
Okay.
I think your strong opinion on that's probably from when your dad was towing with a Great Wall.
Oh, the
and
Great
the Turbo Blue.
Yeah. Yeah. Things like the Great Wall and stuff like that. That was they're not designed for Australian climates and what we want to do. Or they weren't. They may have changed. But yeah.
I reckon they'll be
I'd like to see how it goes.
I think they've got their place, especially if you're not into the hardcore off-roading.
Yep.
I think we sort of spoke about it at length and probably find
that. Oh, a test drive one.
I really like the 500. I don't think it's a car that you're going to kit out and really thrash. But if you're thinking about a Prado or even a 300, I think a tank 500. Pretty nice looking.
The interior actually looks nicer than the Prado.
Yeah. It's classy.
I suppose they all got to start somewhere.
That's it.
I mean, Hyundai came out, was the worst car in Australia, and they're still going, and now some of the best.
Yeah.
So
small SUVs, Hyundai, for sure. Yeah.
I'm just keen to test drive one, I think. Yeah. If this is the GWM tank actual page and account, let us test drive a car.
Yeah, let's do the 300 versus the 500.
Yeah.
Changed my mind.
Strugstagram. Yeah, that's a good one. Strugstagram. How do you put up with finding camp in darkness all the time?
Well, like anything, you just get used to it.
There you go. Aiden.
He's lost a lot.
Yeah.
Like six spotties on your car. Aiden Ascenso. How much have you spent on your car in the last 10 years?
This would be a tough one to swallow for us all. Yeah, so I reckon this would be hard.
He hasn't passed on a question yet. This might be the one.
No, you can pass on any question.
We might just have no idea.
Your missus is going to listen to this?
Well, she knows how much, so that's all right to answer then. If from start, everything I've done, you could probably even include maintenance and repairs. Maybe $350 a house.
Jeez. It's a big number.
Mm.
I mean, that's a long time, though.
Yeah.
I'm just going to race that answer out of my head.
What's yours, Ronnie?
Well, no, that's why I'm erasing it out of my head.
Ronnie's got three cars, remember?
That never happened. Yeah. Three mortgages.
Last one from Mumba Boop. Hey, Mumba Boop. Does the 79? Do you still have the 2-inch lift with 35s? And what mods did you use to make it like all fit together?
No, I have a 3-inch and 35s now. So, but yes, I did run 2-inch and 35s for a good 8 years, 9 years.
A lot of rubbing when you had that.
Yeah. So rubbing in the front guards. Yeah.
So when Torps took my 76 for a drive. On the highway, I took Torb's 79, and considering it's done 500,000 k's, I thought it drove bloody good.
Mm.
Like, really responsive. Steering was great. It bloody drove nice. It didn't feel heavy. Like, it is a heavy car, but it didn't feel heavy. So,
what do you prefer driving?
What do I prefer driving?
The 79 or the 76?
Probably the 76, because it's like low to the ground. Quite zippy. Yeah. Driving on the highway, yeah, definitely. Yeah. It's like when I used to have the Hilux driving to Adelaide, such a breeze. You arrive fresher in a 70 with 35s lifted and that V8 going the whole time. It's awesome, but it really does wear at you. You arrive pretty knackered after driving for a couple of days. Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's all the questions we got for you, mate.
I must admit, when I went flying past you, I did see you drooling.
Well, you slowed down. But then, I probably should have done your speed on the way home because I got done.
Did ya?
Nabbed him.
Yeah. There's an 80 zone in the 110 and I was probably too busy yabbering to Jono. And then I saw the cop car, looked down. I was like, oh, I'll go on. There's about 100 of them, right? And then I saw the lights and I looked down and I thought, shit, oh, it says 80 on the thing. You know, it says 80. Yeah. And I was like, so I pulled up, he comes over, get the old, you can, you know, you don't have to say anything you don't want to, you know, that whole thing.
Oh, right.
And he's like, so yeah, I hope you're having a lovely day, but there's a problem with your speed. And I was like, yeah, I know. How fast was I going?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. He was pretty good about it. Like, yeah. He was doing his job.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm in control of my own car, so it's my fuck up.
Yeah. Yeah, or at least you just put your hand up.
Yeah.
They'd probably appreciate that too.
Shit happens.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, $400, 3 points. Yeah.
Well, don't speed.
Got
something in my head.
Speed. Oh, I've still got 9 points, so I'm all good.
Oh, yeah. I was going to ask
mate,
you.
All good. He's
oh, shit.
How many packs do you have today, mate?
It's only 8:30. Sound like I've had 10 of them. Oh, righto. Right. Is that it?
That's it, mate.
Beautiful. Well, we'll wrap it up because we've gone way overs. So, Torbs, appreciate you coming on, mate. Finding the time. I feel like we should touch base with Torben at a later date. Just to keep sort of the 76 stuff rolling over because I think that's been a real focal point for us over the last month or two.
Yep.
And I think your input might be very valuable.
He was actually... he alluded that he wasn't... against perhaps purchasing one in future.
Right.
Ooh. Sorry, I had to drop that in for you.
Well, that gives me something to think about for next
time. It's on
time
camera here. Already, though, Torb, so.
Well, yeah. I was half a bottle of rum deep. So
yeah.
When the true thoughts come out.
Yeah.
No, that's when the bigger lies come out, isn't it?
I do appreciate it, mate. And thank you, Ronnie. Thank you, Jayden. We'll wrap that up there.
Thank you,
Doggos.
There
you go.
Good work, boys. All right, music-wise, Southern River Band, Let It Ride will see us out. You know where to find us, the 4WD Podcast on Instagram. Episodes over on Backchat's YouTube. And thank you again to our patrons.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I love that.